Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Secular publication called The Atlantic wrote an article last year. It was talking about addressing the issue of declining birth rate in the United States. For 2 decades, the birth rate has declined. And they're trying to pinpoint a reason or reasons why. Some of them feel if the government would give more money, then parents would have more children. Some people are thinking, no, that's not the issue. The issue is an uncertainty that rests in the hearts of many people about what's in the future. What's going to happen with political instability or climate change or just the economic situation. So there's an uncertainty there. The author who was writing says she does not feel like that those are the issues. She felt like there's an underlying reason why the birth rate has declined. She said it really boils down to people questioning the value of life and the reason for being. They don't have an understanding. If you don't know the Creator, you really don't have a good reason and purpose for why you're here. But if you know Him, you'll find out that He's got a reason for you, and there are no accidents in His eyes. This morning, I want to talk about two things that will help you in life, wherever you are, whatever your situation is, two things that will be a difference maker in your life. I want to talk about purpose, and I want to talk about perseverance. We need both. Paul was writing to Timothy. And in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, he talks about, he said, you know, in the last days, in the days we're living in, he said some hard times are going to come, some stressful times are going to come. But then he tells Timothy, but here's the pattern, Timothy. Look at what he says. He says, you've carefully followed my doctrine, which is teaching, my manner of life, how I live, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering. Long-suffering is dealing with people. It's aptly named, long-suffering with people, my love and my perseverance. Perseverance is that. Now, let me just give you some definitions. I think it's worth taking a look at. Purpose is something for which someone strives, an aim or a goal. It's a reason for existence. It's a reason you hear people talk about the purpose for their life. Perseverance. Perseverance is a continuous, steady effort, a steady belief or effort, it's continuous, it withstands difficulty and discouragement. And the Bible talks about having perseverance. So Paul's saying, there's two things. It's a longer list. He said, two things you want to get a hold of. You want to get a hold of purpose and you want to get a hold of perseverance. Now, that pattern still is available for us today, but a lot of times people are like, well, you know, Alan, I mean, you need to have a purpose because you're a pastor. And you do the religious thing, and you need a purpose. You know, wild-eyed people who are champions of a cause, they need a purpose. I'm just a regular, what? You just fill in the blank. I'm just regular. Regular businessman, regular teacher, regular stay-at-home mom, regular truck driver, regular whatever your thing is. I'm a regular student. I'm just a regular. I don't need a purpose. And actually, you do need a purpose. And we'll talk about that. We're going to shed some light on that. And perseverance, well, we need perseverance, guys, because if you haven't figured it out yet, life is not all downhill. Life has some peaks and valleys in it. It's got some challenges. You say, well, when is it going to get better? Oh, it'll get better, but you got to die to get there. So let's don't go with that. But the beautiful thing about it is, if you're a believer, then you have a divine purpose, and you have the capacity for perseverance. As I was looking at purpose, and there's so much in this. And it's not just for motivational speakers or pastors. This purpose is something it's for all of us. I was looking up something. I didn't really know this was a thing. Did you ever hear of tree skiing? I didn't think so. We don't ski much around here unless it's, you know, on Lake Conroe, but we're talking about snow skiing, and people who snow ski, and they get bored, I guess, of skiing down these slopes, and so they get off the manicured slope, and they go into the trees, and they ski between trees. That's what I thought. I said, that's a thing. In fact, there's an article, on the internet, 11 things you need to know about tree skiing. First one is bring a buddy. That makes sense. Because when you run smack into a tree, you need someone to haul your carcass down the hill. But they had a very interesting point, and it's a point that pertains to tree skiing, pertains to cycling, it pertains to motorcycle. It's this. They said when you're tree skiing, they said don't look at the trees. You look at where you want to go, not what you don't want to hit. Now, you hear that, your first thing is, are you kidding me? I need to see that tree. He said, no, because what happens is our eyes tend to, where we go is where our eyes go. In other words, if our focus goes to the tree, that's what you're going to hit. We need to aim for where we want to go. This is the reason for purpose. Purpose is we just can't live our lives trying to survive, hoping we miss the trees. Purpose said, I've got somewhere I'm going. It's not hitting the trees. I've got an aim in life. I've got a goal in life. This is where I'm going. So stay with me because I'm going to give you, because you're thinking, okay, well, great. I don't even really know what my purpose is. I'm going to give you one at the end of this message. I'm going to give you a great purpose. But I want you to see the value of it. In the Bible, there's a story that it involves King David. And King David had a famine in the land, which means, man, you have a famine. That's like a depression. Nobody's eating. It's really difficult for 3 years. And David prayed about it and he asked the Lord. He basically is like, Lord, why are we having this? Aren't you glad we can ask the Lord questions like that? Lord, what's going on? And the Lord said, it's because of Saul. Saul was the previous king. And Saul had tried to kill a group of people called the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites weren't from Israel, but they lived in Israel. And Israel had formed a covenant with them, an agreement that the Gibeonites could live in Israel and Israel would protect them. And that agreement had lasted for years. And Saul actually violated that agreement and killed some of the Gibeonites, tried to wipe them all out. And so David goes to the Gibeonites. Lord said, that's the problem. And David goes to the Gibeonites and he asks a question. He said, how can I make atonement for this? That's a big Bible word, atonement, but it means to cover, to reconcile, to make it right. He said, how can I make this right? They said, well, we don't want any money from Saul, and we don't want to kill anybody in Israel. They said, but give us 7 men from Saul's family, and we're going to hang them before the Lord. Now, when I shared that the first service, a little child was sitting over there, and she goes, what? I thought, yeah, I got you. What? But here's the deal. Sin has to be dealt with. You say, well, wow, that's kind of scary. Does God demand that people die today? No. Jesus was the perfect atonement. He paid for all the sins of all the world. Thank God we don't have to deal with that. But David gives up 7 men from Saul's family. Let's read the story here. The king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, who were the 2 sons whom Rizpah, daughter of Ai, had borne to Saul, and the 5 sons whom Merab, the daughter of Saul, had borne to Adriel, son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. Those are some names, people. I know to tell you that. And handed them over to the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the hill in the presence of the Lord, and 7 of them died together. And they were executed in the first days of the harvest, at the beginning of the barley harvest. Rizpah, Ai's daughter, took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the rain poured down from heaven on the bodies. She kept the birds of the sky from them by day and the wild animals by night. Here's the woman with the purpose. See, to the Jews, burial was very important. If you read through the Bible, you'll notice that a lot of times it's saying so-and-so died, and they'll tell you where they were buried. So-and-so died and they were buried with their fathers. They were buried in the tomb of their father. Almost always tell you where they were buried because to the Jew, in the Jewish mind, how someone was buried was extremely important. In fact, there was one king in Israel who was such a horrible king. They said when he died, nobody was sorry and they wouldn't bury him in the royal cemetery. That means he had no honor. And so for the Jews to not have a proper burial was a horrible thing. And this Rizpah, she had a purpose, and her purpose was she was going to make sure that nothing happened to her boys. She was a single mom. Her husband Saul had already died. She was a concubine. A concubine meant she was really a second-class wife. She could live in the king's palace, but her children would never be heirs with the king's kids. They'd still be sons of a king, but they wouldn't be heirs with the king's kids, and she could have all the benefits of it. So typically, someone like Rispa was not from a wealthy family or not someone of status. She was probably good-looking. Her name means hot coal, so she was a hot rock. And now she's single, and she has no resources, but she is not going to let her boys' bodies be desecrated. And she spreads out sackcloth on a rock, and that's her whole purpose. Her whole purpose was, I'm going to make sure that my boys get a proper burial. That's a purpose. She needed perseverance to make it happen, because you had perseverance to get over the difficulty. She was exposed to the elements, and she was out there for, Bible historians think, 5 months. 5 months. You're trying to go to sleep, and you wake up, and there's an animal trying to eat your son. So you have to fight him off. In the daytime, you're probably nodding off, but some birds come and try to land on your son, and you have to ward them off. And man, you're a single mom. You're out there, and but you got a purpose, and the purpose is, no, these wild animals are not going to eat my babies. No, that's all I got left, and these are my boys. And she's fighting off beasts and animals, and I know I've met some of you moms before. I can see where she would get that done. But there was a perseverance. She had to have a perseverance to move past the difficulty of that. Exposed to the elements. Exposed and in a bad situation. And she had to have perseverance to hold on to hope that her boys would be buried right. I'm going to move through this story because what's interesting is what Rizpah did. This little lady who's now a widow, and now she has no kids. But what she did reached the ears of King David, and her actions, her perseverance and her purpose convicted a king. And David went and got Saul and Jonathan's bones, which had never had a proper burial, and he buried them, and he took down those 7 men that had hanged and gave them a proper burial as well. And the famine lifted off the land. You'll be surprised at how your life can impact somebody else. Here this little lady was. No status. She's now a widow. But yes, she impacted a king. Purpose, perseverance. How do we get there? Let's take a look at this. Here's the first one. Clarify a bigger purpose for your life. A bigger purpose, bigger life. People say, Alan, I've seen people do this. They build their purpose, and we build it around things like family. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm gonna raise a good family, or I'm going to build it around my career, or I'm going to build it around maybe I do something in the community, or I'm a coach, or I'm going to build my purpose around something. The challenge with that is that it's subject to change. And when it changes, you see people, they work a career, they work a long time, and then they retire, and you hear people who have retired say, I've lost a sense of purpose. But there is a purpose that God has for us that will last now, it'll last into forever. Here it is. Paul is praying for the church at Colossae. He says, for this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. I just gave you a purpose right there that will last you for the rest of your life. What is it, Alan? That you would begin to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that you would be fully pleasing to Him, that you would be fruitful in every good work, and that you would increase in the knowledge of God. That's a big overarching purpose. You say, well, that's not fair because you have a purpose that's around God. You're a pastor. Being a pastor is not my purpose. Being a pastor is my calling and my assignment. My purpose is to walk worthy of the Lord, to be fully pleasing to Him, to be fruitful in every good work, which is this, and to increase in the knowledge of God. Because there will come a day one day when I'm not the senior pastor. Not now. It will come a day. And when that changes, I don't lose a sense of purpose. I still want to walk worthy. He said, what do you mean walking worthy? Well, you know, if you're a parent, you know what I mean by walking worthy. You've told your kids, stand up straight. Say, you're part of the family. Stand up. Walk like you. We got good kids. I got three. They were good. Michael was the youngest. And we would take him out. We'd be going like somewhere like Target or Walmart or something. And when he was a little guy, and he would say, can I have a toy? We're like, no. He asked him, can I have a toy? No. He told him no about three times, and he would literally. And he would walk like this through the store. And people would look at him and go, aw. We're like, leave him alone. Leave him alone. I'm thinking to myself, it's a good thing you were born in this generation. Because if you were born in my generation, you got a beating before you got out of that store. True story. Little boy was in with him. He's a little guy. He was in with his mom, and he was sitting in the grocery cart. And she goes down the cookie aisle. He said, Mom, I want some cookies. She said, you're not going to have any cookies. He said, I want some cookies. She said, no, no cookies. He kept going, and they saw something else. He said, Mom, I want some cookies. And she said, no cookies. And they got to the checkout, and there was cookies right there to tempt your children, right there at the checkout. And he says, Mom, I want some cookies. She said, no cookies. He stands up and he lifts his hands. He lifts his head to him. He said, in Jesus' name, give me some cookies. Before he got to the car, 10 people had come and given them bags. You know there was a conversation when they got home, though. And we would tell Michael, you know, stand up straight, walk worthy. Walking worthy means I'm going to walk in a way that honors the Lord. I'm living my life to honor the Lord. I'm living in such a way that it brings honor to Him. I'm a witness for Him. That's a purpose in my life. I want to grow. I want to be productive. I want to grow in the knowledge of God. And the beautiful thing about it is that can be my purpose for now. It can be my purpose throughout eternity. To walk eternity. That, you say, well, I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a preacher. This can be just for a believer. To walk worthy of the Lord, to grow, to know Him, to be productive in every good work. Your marriage is a good work. Your job is a good work. Whatever you do, you can be productive. So purpose, remember, something we're aiming for. Something when we get up in the morning, we're like, I got a direction. I know where I'm going to go. But we also need, second thing is, perseverance. To push past the discomfort and the difficulty of life. Perseverance to push past the difficulty. Listen, guys, I'm just be very honest with you. Living for the Lord, trying to walk worthy for the Lord, living this way, living with this kind of purpose is not going to be easy. But we don't come to Jesus because He makes everything easy. We come to Jesus because we were lost and we needed a Savior. And that's why we come to Him. But we have to also understand that this life, even though you've come to Him, this life does not mean everything is going to be perfect. In fact, when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, look at the wording he uses. He says, this is to the church. This is not just preachers. This is the church. Church in Corinth, church in Conroe. Be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. Be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. That word courageous was actually a military term. Be courageous. It actually, in the old King James, it would say, quit like men. Or act like men. Telling us to be, listen, those are aggressive words. If you come to me at the end of the service, and I'm always down here, if you want to come and say hello, you come and say, hey, Alan, we're not going to see you for a couple of weeks. We're going on a cruise down to St. John's and St. Thomas. I'm not going to look at you and go, be courageous. Be strong. If I said that to you, you would walk away and go, what's up with that? What do you say to someone who tells you they're going on a cruise? Have fun. Have a good time. Don't eat too much. Ha, ha, ha. But someone who's going into battle, someone who's going to boot camp, Be strong, be courageous, and in this world that we live in, these words are we have to persevere because there is difficulty and there's challenges. And I'd love to tell you that it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. But thank God we don't have to handle it by ourselves. Amen. To me, the 23rd Psalm is a beautiful capsule of a believer's life. You know, 23rd Psalm, almost everyone knows that one, right? The Lord is my, I shall not. He makes me lie down in. He leads me beside. He restores my. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for. Man, that sounds good. I'll sign up for that. I got a shepherd. That means I have no lack. That means he's going to bring me to places of sustenance. He's going to refresh me by still waters. If I have been hurt, he's going to restore my soul. He's going to lead me in paths of righteousness. I'm going to be on right paths. I've got a good shepherd. I like that. I signed up for that. But the verse, it doesn't stop there. The Psalms 23 doesn't stop there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the death, I will what? Fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your word and your spirit, they comfort me. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't sign up for the valley. I signed up for the green pastures and the still waters and the restoration. I did not sign up for the valley. But we didn't say we're going to live in the valley. It says we go through the valley, and we don't go through it by ourselves. We go through it with him and his rod. His rod and his staff. His word and his spirit, they comfort us. And then he said, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our friends and family. No, I missed that one. He prepares a table before in the presence of our enemies. We're like, enemies? I don't want enemies. I want rainbows and sunshine. I don't want enemies. And yet he said he would be there. And yet he said he would be, but listen. But we have to persevere because too many people, when they hit the valley, they turn left. They go, I'm done. I'm out. Don't get out. You stay in because you got a purpose. You're going to walk worthy of the Lord. You're going to be fully pleasing to him. You're going to be increasing in the knowledge of God. You're going to be fruitful and productive. Don't leave him in the valley. Stay with him. He's staying with you. So you stay there. And we need perseverance to hold on. Here's the last one. You got to hold on to hope. To persevere past discouragement, there's got to be a hope of something good that's coming. Something good. Hope, when the Bible talks about hope, it's not a wish. It's an expectation of good. You're expecting something good. We got a little dog at home. His name is Boudreaux. He's a poodle. We got him from my daughter when she didn't have a boyfriend. She moved away and left the dog with us. Boudreaux, affectionately known as Booty D, is quite the poodle. Now, he loves me. I'm the one that pets him. I'm the one that feeds him. I scratch his little back. I talk to him. Joy is not a dog person. She doesn't hate dogs. She pets him once a week. Like, that's it. But Joy, in the morning, she has her toast, and she feeds him bread. He likes brioche bread. He's French. He's a French poodle. He likes brioche bread. And she feeds him little pieces of brioche bread. I'm telling you, in the morning, even though Joy doesn't like him, that dog will get up. If I let the dog, he will go looking for Joy. He will go through every room. And when he finds her, he's like, why? Because he's expecting something good to happen. At night, he hangs out with me because she doesn't give out brioche bread at night. I give little pieces of sandwich at night, and he gets, oh, don't look at me that way. You treat your dogs, oh, and you talk to him. But see, I love the little dog. I treat him well. He sits with me. He'll jump. I'm praying sometimes. He'll jump up in the chair and kill. I'm like, is that you, Lord? No, it's the dog. I love the dog, but the dog in the morning ignores me because he's expecting something good from Joy. And he won't leave her side. He's expecting something good. He's expecting something good. Listen, listen, we can expect something good because we have a hope. Look what it says here. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience. That's perseverance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our God and Father. Hey, listen, what it's saying is our hope is not just in something. Our hope is in a person. Our hope is in the person of Jesus. I don't just have hope for healing. I have hope in the healer. I don't just have hope for provision. I have hope in the provider. I just don't have hope in direction. I've got hope in the shepherd who leads me and guides me. And because I have hope in somebody, then when life gets tough, I don't bail out. You don't bail out, because our hope is in someone who loved us enough to die for us, who loved us enough to be raised from the dead, who's given us a relationship with God. We got hope in someone who loves us and cares about us. And that makes a difference. The 23rd Psalm does not end. I left you with the table in the presence of his enemies, but it doesn't end there. It said, he anoints my head with my cup. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, guys, we don't have to give up. We can persevere because we believe that goodness and mercy are following us. We might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but goodness and mercy are coming behind. I'm expecting goodness and mercy, not just now, but I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, that's a hope for here, and that's a hope throughout eternity. Purpose. Perseverance. We can do this. We've got someone to hope in, someone who believes in us. Bow your heads with me for a moment. If you came and said, Alan, I'm not sure about my relationship. I'm uncertain about my relationship with the Lord, but I want to be certain. Or maybe at one time you had a certainty. You were walking with the Lord. You gotten away from him, and you know in your heart, I need to come back to him. I need him in my life. We're going to say a prayer. Not going to have you stand up. Not going to have you come down to the front. We're going to say this prayer. This prayer is for you. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If you're saying, Alan, that is me that you're talking to. I want to be sure of my relationship, or I want to come back to the Lord. Would you pray for me? Shoot your hand up real quick just across this auditorium. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Anybody else? Just say, Alan, would you pray for me? Thank you. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. You're like, I missed it. No, no, no. This is a heart prayer. God sees hands. He sees hearts. We're going to pray this prayer with you out loud. If you're online, I can't see you, obviously. But if you're by yourself, pray this out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. We're going to pray with you as a church family in here. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. For those, Father, who have come to you and those who have come back, we rejoice with them. We're grateful for what you're doing in them. You have a divine purpose for them. Thank you for the capacity that they have to fulfill all your design and plan. And Father, for the rest of us, thank you for what you speak to our hearts, that you didn't never leave us. And when we go through the tough times, you're there. And Father, we have the perseverance to stay with you. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.